Of doing the Bible reading for us. Today's passage is on 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 to 25. If you don't have a Bible, can you please raise your hand so the welcomers can pass you one? If you're using one of the Black Church Bibles, it's on page 851. So again, it's 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 to 25. Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to the emperor as the supreme authority or to governors who are sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing good you should silence the ignorant talk of foolish people. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves. Show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. Slaves, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. For it is commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? For if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example, that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate when he suffered. He made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls.
See. Is this on? Yes. Hello, my name is Pastor Tom, one of the pastors in Bill at Grace Point. It'd be great that we can hear God's words once again as we continue with our series of 1 Peter. Before that, let me pray. Tell me, Father, we thank you we do have a church to meet, to worship you, to listen to your words and hear stories how you are a wonderful God who loves us all. I pray for tonight as we hear your words. Hear with compassion, hear with love. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I caught up with a leader who's a worker a couple of weeks ago in the city. And she told me she was struggling at work. And no, it's not from the work stress. It's about her manager. The things he said to her was demeaning to others. And sometimes even comes across sexist. She raised it with HR, which is already confronting for her. But nothing really changed. And the worst thing of all, she still had to face him every day as she's working for him. What is she to do? Does she continue submitting to someone like that? Does she make a big thing out about it? You know, go to media or Twitter or Facebook? Or even confront the manager directly. How will you feel if you're told to continue to submit to a manager like that? It wouldn't be easy. But we all have rights in Australia. But as Christians, how do we deal with this manager in a way which is pleasing to God? And today's passage really a second part of 3 points of Peter's explanation of submission as a Christian. First, 13 to 17 talks about submission to government authorities, which I'll do a recap on that later. And first, 18 to 25, it talks about servant submitting to masters. In today's terms, it's like employees submitting to a manager, which I'll unpack later too. In 2 weeks' time, we will cover submission within the family life. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. And a couple of weeks ago, you did preach about submitting to human authority, 1 Corinthians 17. And the sermon helped us to think about what it means to submit to to authority of the government. And we are remember, we do have an election coming up, which does link about slaves submitting to their master in verse 18 to 20, which links to why we need to submit to a master, which is in verse 21 to 25. It's all in the outline inside your bulletin, point by point. So let me do a recap on verse 13 to 17. 2 weeks ago. And Peter wrote and told the Christians to submit to secular human authorities. This should be viewed as part of God's will, as we are his children, is to continue to do good. Which you all know, this command is much easier to understand than actually putting into practice. And we're told to do this in order to silence the ignorance of slanders, to be blameless, above reproach before the slanders, which is in verse 15. And verse 16 and 17 tells us why we need to do good. Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover up for evil. Live as God's slave. Don't forget, Christians were suffering during Peter's time. And it's not because of martyrdom or imprisonment yet. And Peter reminded the Christians they were suffering because people around them disapproved of the faith. The people around them didn't believe in the resurrection and that Jesus giving a living hope. So society marginalized them. Society questioned their belief. And not to mention, there were also verbal slanders who threw out insults about the faith in Jesus Christ. If a protest broke out in the city, the Christians were always perceived as the troublemakers. And Joe Mock had explained that with Nero. There's always drew the short straw. They were the scapegoats during that time. And what do we read in the beginning of verse 13? Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human authority. Seeing this verse, we need to go back to verse 11 and 12. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners, as exiles, to abstain from sinful desires which rage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that through they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. In verse 11, as foreigners to this world, the church is told to abstain from sinful desires. In verse 12, the church is also told to live good lives. Why does the church need to do these things? It's on verse 12. This is so pagans may see their deeds and glorify God on the day he'll visit us. So now we can see it. Why Peter told the church to do good. To show society they are not the ones who causes trouble. They need to respect the government, the rulers, and those in authority. Christians were to respect the laws of the government. And today, we are still to respect the law. We're living in a postmodern time. Many people don't know who Jesus is. People don't even know what Easter is about now. And no, it's not Easter eggs, as my kids love chocolate. But that doesn't stop us doing good deeds before an unbelieving world. We have to pray for our government, pray for the judges, pray for the kings and all the authority. Because it is the will of God that they are placed in position to govern. Pray that they will do what is best for the people in Australia. And care for the needs of the people. So when we submit to a government authority, we need to go back to the general principle. We are to submit and obey the emperor and governing authorities, except when they command us to do sin or disobey God. Except when they command us to sin or disobey God. And with this, let's go to verse 18 and 20. Firstly, when Peter talks about slaves, we need to understand slavery was common in the Greco-Roman time. Roman citizens had the rights, autonomy over the servant classes. And the servant or slaves classes were men and women to serve the household of the homes. Households of the business of the master. In fact, it was believed there were around 60 million slaves in the Roman Empire was made out of slaves. 60 million. And there were lots of different types of slavery. You have people who had become slaves when their master bought them from a prison of war. Or it could be won over by gambling, having a gambling game. Some were born into a family of slaves, as a slave was able to start a family with the permission of the master. For example, if your parents were slaves and you were born in that household, you would have a master. Another type of slavery is the Greco-Roman world, is where they can repay their own debt and become a free man or even become a Roman citizen. These slaves basically earn for their redemption. But for many, the life of slavery was also inhumane. Treated like cattle in the Roman law, being whipped, abused, punished rightly, wrongly, discarded when it's no longer useful. So you might think it's different today. This is because we have rights, like freedom of speech, and even freedom to vote for our government. You may not know that slavery exists because we don't see it in the Western world, but slavery still exists today in many countries. And we heard it from CJ. Many countries in Africa, Middle East, Asia, Central America, slavery still happens. There are some cases where companies exploit their employees, like underpay them or give them work in bad conditions. And not to mention human trafficking. That's slavery too. And if you really want to know more about slavery or human trafficking, talk to one of the JAM team regarding modern slavery. And some of them are also involved in the IJM, as we know. As employees today in Australia, we have rights, and we are protected by law, by the union. As employees, we have rights to minimum wage. We have laws which protect us from sexual harassment, or even bullying, being bullied. So submitting to a person that treats you right and even wants the best for you, it's pretty easy. But what happens if our boss is not doing the right thing by the law? What happens if our boss treats you wrongly? But I think sometimes there are fine lines between submission and staying up for ourselves and not just being a doormat. Let me tell you a story of a guy. A guy needing to make a decision in life regarding work. A young man has been looking for work for ages. He's been looking for work for over 1 year as he finished his studies. At last, he landed his job, which he was very relieved about. But this was the thing. After a couple of weeks of work, he had never given a company's ABN number, so he couldn't pay his taxes. So he asked his boss, What's happening? And his boss told him that he will be paid cash in hand. The boss said it really works for him doing this. Really works for him. But this is the thing. As Christians, aren't we supposed to pay our taxes? If you're working or earning income, shouldn't it be our duty to declare our income? So he told his boss that he would like to do the right thing and to declare his income to the government, or he will quit. At the end, he quit. See, it's a hard thing to do. Going back to being unemployed and looking for work once again. But he chose to do the right thing as a worker, to submit to the tax authority and go against the boss. To be blameless before the tax authority, which we were told to do a couple of weeks ago. That they are put in position by God. If you have worked long enough, there are people who are like that at work. Who do anything to get a promotion, to look good. Even backstabbing people. You might even have a manager who's like that, who takes all the glory when the project is done well. But when the project goes sour, they won't take the blame. And might point fingers at others or at you. There are people who will lie about their work and their capability. There are people who deceive others and even say sexist comments. So what does the scripture say? And here, in the scriptures, it tells us to submit ourselves to our master who are harsh to you. Firstly, Peter's not talking about the scenario where a slave has committed a crime and therefore faced their master's undeserved punishment. Here in verse 20, Peter is talking about a slave who endures suffering that is undeserved. Peter is talking about a slave who's actually punished for doing good. This is suffering which is commendable in the sight of God. And let's have a look at what Peter says. He doesn't say, go and fight to change society. He doesn't say, go and campaign for the rights of slaves. He doesn't say, go and start petition. Paul begins with the gospel and how it transforms the life and witness of the slave. He's saying, this is how a slave who is a citizen of the kingdom is to relate to his master. Response like Jesus, even when unjustly treated. So when we submit to our master, our boss, authorities, and we need to go back to the general principle, we are to submit and obey our boss and manager's authority, except when they command us to sin or disobey God. And I'd like to add a second principle. We need to remember that Jesus submitted to injustice, but did so entrusting himself to God who judges justly. Entrusting himself to God who judges justly. Let me explain more with the second principle as we look at the next point, verse 21 to 25. Peter goes back to the core of why we need to submit to authority, whether they're good or bad, whether justice or injustice. Why do we need to submit our boss, whether there's a good one or a bad one? Why do we need to suffer for this? Peter tells us in verse 21, because Christ has suffered for you and me, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. Christ has suffered for us, for all of us. We need to recall Christ was perfect. He didn't do anything wrong in the world, nor against God. We read that Jesus was delivered to Pilate, the governor. And Pilate even said to the crowd, "Why this man? Why do you want him to be crucified? What evil has he done?" And you read this in Matthew chapter 27 and Mark chapter 15. We read that Pilate only gave in to the crowd because he didn't want them to start a riot. He was looking after himself and his own interests. He didn't want Rome and the governments to be involved. Jesus was an innocent man. He was blameless. He had no dirt on him. But he still suffered death on the cross, because the governor was gutless. By saying that, it's the bigger picture. We need to look at Jesus' death on the cross as it happened. He was perfect in God's eye. But we know all men, humanity, are gutless. Even the disciples denied him when Jesus was hanging on the cross, denying that Jesus was God. We are in the same position. We are not perfect. We all have sinned against God. In Romans chapter 3, verse 10, it says, "There's no one righteous, not even one. There's no one who understands. There's no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There's no one who does good, not even one." Don't we see? No one seeks God. No one even knows about him, as we are full of darkness. We all have turned away from him. But it's God. But it's God who sought us out. And it's only by Jesus' death, his blood on the cross, that we are saved instead of being punished. He suffered and was nailed on the cross in order for us to be saved. And whoever believes in this can stand in front of a holy God and to be judged by him, to be righteous because we are now seen as perfect. Jesus' blood has washed us clean. And with this, let's get back to the second principle. We need to remember that Jesus submitted to injustice with respect, but did so in trusting himself to God who judges justly. Injustice does happen in society. But in the secular worldview, there is no answer for injustice. You just need to cop it. Because the final answer to injustice is just too bad. But the Christian's worldview says that there's a God who cares through his son, Jesus. And God will right what's wrong. And that's why we love our superhero movies and stories. Doesn't matter if you're a kid or an adult. Avengers Endgame just came out, and most of us know what's going to happen. But we still love to watch it. And I know a lot of you guys have watched it. Regardless of the pain and suffering, we know there's going to be a good ending. Superheroes will always come on top. Because there's us, because they are superheroes. And superheroes always find a way to defeat the bad guys. And you know what? Christian people also knows the ending. This is because of the resurrection. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. We have no fear in death, persecution, and injustice. We can entrust ourselves to the one who holds us in his hands and promise us justice. All evil in this world will be reversed via the resurrection and the second coming. So we can respond in kindness, respond in goodness, and respond in love. You can only do it if you know there's a God who's going to do the right thing. And that's why Christian people can work for justice and mercy, because they are working towards what God is going to do. And there's hope even when we cannot get justice and mercy, because we know it's going to come one day. We entrust all things to God, who will judge justly. But in the secular worldview, there's no reason to work for justice and mercy. What's the point if death is the end? If death, that's it. Right now, today, we might have personally experienced this. You might have been insulted or viewed lowly by others. Right now, you might be accused of being old-fashioned, following the traditional ways of Christianity, and being told society has moved on something more advanced, or the church is seen as corrupt, has done more harm than good. The church is seen as bigots and being judgmental in some ethical areas. Right now, you might also be getting comments from people who are close to you, family members, parents, or other relatives, saying Christianity is just hypocrites. How are we to take it? How are we to relate to them, knowing their views of Christianity, our belief? Because sometimes it's hard to swallow and to bite our tongue. Should we fight back? Which can end up in an argument, because no one wins. It's just hard to bite our tongue sometimes. We need to remember that Jesus submitted to injustice with respect, but did so entrusting himself to God, who judges justly. As we have just heard the good news, how are we to apply this passage tonight? As we work, whether a master or slave, we need to remember it's not always going to be smooth sailing. Having any kind of work or going to uni or college is a blessing from God. But to submit to someone when something which is unjustly done to you, it's not easy. Now, I know each case is very different from case to case. Sometimes there's no quick fix, hard or fast rule when you feel hurt or you're suffering at work or at uni or college or even at home. But let's go back to the general principle. As a worker, we need to submit and obey our manager or boss who is placed in authority over us. However, we do not submit it if we are commanded by our boss to sin or disobey God. Secondly, we need to respect and honor our management or our boss. We don't have to agree with them everything, but we need to show love and trust in God, who will judge justly in the end. So submitting your master comes back to obeying God and his words. He has given us clear commandments: do not kill, do not murder, and do not place anything over him. We're also commanded to love our brothers and sisters at church. We need to love even at times when we may be disappointed by others. This will happen. We are living under the influence of sin in this world. The church is not immune to it. In fact, we are all sinners, but Christ has united us. Besides loving each other as brothers and sisters, Jesus also says we are to love our enemies, which is mentioned in Beatitude in the Gospel of Matthew. To love our enemies. And we need to love our enemies even if injustice is done to us. Secondly, the second thing is, how are we to live in Australia where Christians' values are not accepted or being pushed aside? How are we to live when society doesn't value our values because of our faith in Jesus? How are we to suffer for our value, carrying the cross? The current laws are pushing us out. How are we to act today? as we suffer for our faith. And not retaliate or threaten others back. But on the other hand, it's so easy just to be quiet, to hide. Because it's easier for us to blend in with the world and be the same and act the same. We may forget who we are. But on the other side, it can also be dangerous for us to be disengaged and hide from the evil of the world. In the late 11th to the early 12th century, monks in Europe live as hermits. They isolate themselves from society and separate themselves from the evil practice of the world. This is so they can be in silent solitude and focus on being faithful to God, devoting their life to the praise of God. It's great that they want to praise God and to focus on meditating His words. But for these monks, they went to the extreme and went to the mountains where they built monasteries and lived there. The monasteries are still standing today in the hills of Greece. These monks chose these areas so people couldn't reach them and they couldn't be tempted by the world. In fact, the only means of reaching these monasteries was climbing a long ladder or a bucket. You sit in the bucket and they lift you up if they want you to enter. Basically, these monks isolate themselves. They never had to suffer for what they believe, as they never saw the outside world. No one was able to come in. So, are we to become hermits? Becoming monks and nuns in the 21st century? This is the thing. As Christians, what is our role and responsibility as we live in this world? What is our role and responsibility as we live in this world? We are told to be holy and focus on God's word. But we're also told to live out our Christian life for people to see. How are we to be light on the hill in the 21st century if we hide and live in isolation? So no one can find us and even reach us, like those monks. How are we to be witness to the world? Who are we proclaiming Christ if we hide to ourselves? So how are we to suffer well? Because what we stand for as Christians. How are we to suffer for the gospel, carrying that cross? How are we suffering, which is pleasing to God? We're living in the midst of the hostile world, which oppose the word of God. We could be facing hard times because of what we believe in and what we stand for. But we know suffering is part of life. Brokenness of our life. And sometimes our suffering is not even due to our wrongdoing. It just happens. And suffering happens to people whether they are Christians or non-Christians. It doesn't matter who you are. But for us, as believers, we are remembered to trust in God who carries out His final judgment. And all people will need to face His judgment. So let God be God who is just and righteous in His judgment. And furthermore, we are told today that Christ has gone ahead and suffered for us. He was insulted, rejected for us. And Jesus submitted as He suffered and died unjustly. But He never threatened back and did not retaliate back. The way Jesus responds is the way we should respond when we get insulted by others. Because most of the time, we'll defend ourselves. We'll fight back. And when we do that, no one wins. We need to remember, our walk with Christ is not alone when we suffer. We walk together as God's people to do good work. So all may see what it means to be set apart for God as we suffer together. But in today's passage, we were told we were one lost sheep. But now we are not anymore. We have a loving, a caring, a good shepherd who will guard our souls in verse 25. He is our true overseer. As we suffer for the gospel, Jesus is with us and holds on to us. So that God's name may be glorified as others see us suffer as Christians. As we know this, we also know that there is a hope, and others will also ask this reason of hope. So our good works will have a missional impact. As you remember in verse 15. So the question is, how are we to be missionary if we suffer for the gospel? I mean, we are willing to stick our heads out, even we might not be comfortable about it, vulnerable about it. Yes, we can do beach mission, short-term mission, long-term mission. But being missional can also happen in our own backyard, as we need to tell others around us about the gospel. Because as we think about evangelism, we tend to think, oh, who's the great speaker that we can invite? Or we might do a course of evangelism. These are great things. But I think we forget where it really starts. It starts with us. We need to remember it's our life that we live, how we act and what we do. Basically, our lives are to be tools of missions, speaking and acting as a follower of Jesus. So one thing is to think about what you normally do in the week. How can you live out your weekly life with a gospel mind? This means being a good witness at work, being different in the workplace, maybe ethically, or being loving to others. It means having lunch with a work colleague, and just having a catch up with them. Even talking about going to church on a Sunday, and you might help the youth group, or do music, or you do prayer. These are just examples of ways to start conversations, which might lead to the gospel conversation. Nothing might happen, but doors may open for you later. All I'm saying is having intention on every week doing mission in our life, wherever you are in, university, college, work, family. It starts with us. Another thing is what we can do in our community life. How can we do life with our brothers and sisters in Christ? I know some of you guys love playing tennis and Oztag and soccer, or even grabbing dinners with friends and bring your Christian friends and non-Christian friends together. Have a meal and have fellowship. And yes, right now we're involved in some areas in our community life within our area, like St. Paul's Pantry, where we feed the homeless. People who are in need knows where to go to get food and supplies. And they know it's God's people in the church helping them. Another example is from what we heard tonight from CJ, by supporting a compassion child. But our support is not just supporting the child, but we are also supporting their parents, their siblings, the whole community. This is also being missional. Let's encourage each other to talk and share life together as Christians and to be missional minded. I'm talking about sharing deeply with each other on things like gospel issues or stretching our Bible knowledge together. Apologetics, share about our struggles with our walk and pray for each other. But we'll also talk and give thanks and praise God for what He's been doing in your life. Do we share about our Christian life and being open about it? Do we share about how we're suffering for the gospel, how we're carrying the cross? Are we willing to stick our heads out, even we might not be comfortable about it and being vulnerable, this is being missional within our church. Because visitors do see how we care, how we love, how we support each other in order to glorify God. Visitors do see it. And people do see the level of trust we have as a family. And I know some of you guys are already doing this. But wouldn't it be great that we're all doing this? God's people growing and walking together for God and His kingdom. Let's pray. Loving Father, I ask you to help us to be man and woman who's able to submit to your authorities, governments, our bosses, so that we are blameless and that others can see your glory. As we do this, and not worrying about others, what they think about us, but to trust in you who will judge justly in the end times. Amen.